This is Matt Wells at UN News. Reports that Sudanese security agents have used live ammunition and tear gas against anti-government protesters gathering at hospitals in the capital Khartoum are deeply worrying, the UN's top human rights official Michelle Bachelet said on Thursday. According to the government, 24 people reported to have died in demonstrations across the country, which began almost a month ago, although the High Commissioner says that the official toll may be nearly twice as high. In an interview with Daniel Johnson from UN News, Ravina Shamdasani from the UN Human Rights Office noted the rights chief's assertion that a repressive response can only worsen grievances against poor governance, food and fuel shortages.
Well, as you know, there have been demonstrations in Sudan, across Sudan, in fact, in a number of cities since the 19th of December. Now, the government itself has confirmed that 24 people have died in the course of these protests. But we understand from other credible reports that the death toll may be nearly twice as high, and many others have been injured. We've also had reports that security forces have actually followed some protesters into a hospital, in the Omdurman Hospital, and they fired tear gas and live ammunition into the premises of the hospital. Now, this is certainly not acceptable, and we are calling on the authorities to ensure that the rights to freedom of expression and peaceful assembly are protected, regardless of the political affiliations of the protesters.
Yes, I was going to ask you about the use of excessive force, or the allegations and reports of use of excessive force. Sudan is a signatory of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, so people do have the right to demonstrate should they wish to do so. What more do you know about the use of excessive force? You do mention that there have been demonstrations in, what, 14 locations around the country?
That's right. There have been demonstrations very much across the country. And in fact, just today, there's a call by the professional associations for a mass protest, again, across 12 different cities. What the High Commissioner for Human Rights has been stressing is that there are some real grievances, and we're not saying that these are easy to resolve, but a repressive response can only worsen these grievances. The government, as a state party to international conventions on civil and political rights, has an obligation to, in fact, facilitate and protect peaceful assembly rather than cracking down on it.
And how many people have been rounded up in these month-long series of demonstrations?
Well, the authorities have confirmed that up to the 6th of January, there were at least 816 people who were arrested in connection with the demonstrations. And these include journalists, opposition leaders, protesters, and civil society. We understand that the figure might be even higher. Although some of these people remain in detention while others have been released, it still does send a message to individuals that their right to protest is not being protected by the government, even if they're just detained and released within a few minutes of being detained.
And President Omar al-Bashir has been in power for the last three decades or so. What is it that the demonstrators are calling for?
Well, you know, these protests actually started due to economic issues. The price of bread has almost doubled in Sudan. There's been excessive inflation. There are fuel shortages. But partly because of the repressive response, but also because there are genuine grievances, they have grown to protest against corruption and protest against the government itself. What we are calling on is for the authorities to ensure that all those who are arbitrarily detained are released, and that instead of repressing these protests, the government sits down and works to resolve this tense situation through dialogue.
And staying with the government, what exactly is it that you want it to do? Is it going to investigate these reports and allegations of the excessive use of violence and, you said, tear gas in a hospital and live rounds?
Well, in fact, there has been a recognition by the government and a condemnation of the firing of tear gas into this and live ammunition into this hospital. And we understand that they have established a national fact-finding committee. We are asking that they ensure that any investigations and the work of this committee are conducted independently with a view to bringing to justice the perpetrators of violence, regardless of their political affiliations. We are also offering our support to the government of Sudan, and the High Commissioner has reached out to offer to deploy a team to Sudan to advise the authorities and help to ensure that they act in accordance with their human rights obligations.
How much does the Office for the High Commissioner of Human Rights liaise and coordinate with Sudan's National Commission of Human Rights?
We are very much engaged with the government through the permanent mission here in Geneva, but also on the ground. We've had a few visits recently where we have been trying to offer various kinds of assistance to the government. government. And we would be very supportive of national institutions as well that could independently monitor and investigate any human rights violations.
And in terms of Sudan's wider political picture, maybe you could explain the various difficulties that the country has. There is separatist violence in the north and various parts of the country. There is cooperation with the international human rights mechanisms that the United Nations facilitates. Maybe you could just help us get an idea about what the picture is for people on the ground in Sudan.
Sure. Sudan does play an important role in the region, and it has been well engaged with various international human rights mechanisms. And the country, as you know, does have quite a difficult recent history, you know, with the separation of Sudan and South Sudan, and then South Sudan plunging into war, which has seriously affected the oil revenue for Sudan itself. Sudan was also subjected to sanctions until quite recently, and the impact of those sanctions still does resonate. However, there are problems of governance as well, which is what these protesters are really taking to the streets about. They are frustrated that corruption and the lack of good governance and perhaps the lack of accountability and transparency in governance has actually helped worsen the economic situation rather than resolve it in the aftermath of the imposition of sanctions.
And final question to you, Ravina Shamdasani from the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights. What happens next?
Well, we are hoping that the government will accept our request to deploy a team to assist them in ensuring that their response to the situation is grounded in international human rights law. And we are hoping that they will seek to resolve the situation through dialogue with all the people, with all their grievances, to acknowledge those grievances and work together to resolve them and to set aside a repressive approach to protests.